Okay, so let's pick up from the Mishnah on Daf Mem Zayin Aleph towards the very bottom of the page. The Mishnah says as follows: Mishahaya. Now we have it as Beiso, but the Bach and others changed it to Koslo. Person whose wall was Samach Levodes Kochavim, was next door to Nevodes Kochavim, Vinafel, and the wall fell down. Now what Rashi explains here is that the case is that you have a Jew's house. And you have, of the four walls, one of the walls attaches to the guy's house. So there's an attached house. The guy's house, what would be the base of Avodas Kochavim, is next door, and there is a wall that divides between the Jew's house and the guy's house. So now, if that wall falls down, what do you do? So says the Mishnah, Asher Levino, so it's prohibited to rebuild that wall the way that it was before. So Ketzad Yatzeh, so what should you do? So Konis Pesach Shlo, he should go into his own property. He should, in other words, he should distance himself from the property line. We have it as Arba Amos. Clearly, Rashi didn't seem to have that version. Rashi explains that we're talking about it. That means you have to distance yourself 4 Amos away from the property line. Ubona, and then you rebuild the wall. Now, Haya Shal, we have it as Shalo, but it's some added in Haya Shalo. Rashi had it as Haya Shalo v'Shalo v'Rutz Kuchavim. If the place where the wall, let's say the wall is a thick wall, it belongs to both the Jew and the guy. In other words, you have a wall that is, let's say, 2 amos thick. And one and the wall is exactly on the middle of the property line, so that half the wall is on the Jew's side of the property and half the wall is on the guy's side of the property line. So what do we do in that case? So nidan mechza mechza, we judge it half and half. Now what that means is that you, when you're distancing 4 amos away from the property line before you rebuild the wall, so where are you counting the 4 amos from? So it's from the property line itself, but in terms of a wall that was actually up, it would only be 3 amos away from the edge of the wall that's on your side of the property. Okay. Avanav Eitzav Afaro. Now what about its stones, its wood, the dirt, all these different materials that came tumbling down from this wall? What's the story with those materials? So Metamin Kesharetz, all of those stones and wood and dirt that came up from the wall when it tumbled down, the guy's stones, the Jew's stones, it doesn't make a difference. Metamin Kesharetz, all of those stones contaminate like a sheretz. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, shaketz teshaktzen. This is the pasuk we've cited a number of times where it says lo savi, the pasuk in Dvarim Zayin Chavav, where the pasuk says lo savi to'eva al beisecha v'yisacherim kamo shaketz teshaktzenu. So we learn over there that the word shaketz teshaktzenu, that is a similar word that we find that's in the context of sheretz. So we see that there is a linkage, that the Torah refers to, uses language that has to do with sheretz when it's talking about our treatment of Avodah Zarah. So we learn that there's some special equation that the Torah is making between Avodah Zarah and a sheretz. And so what we learn from there is that the things that the stones of this wall are tumah sheretz, like Avodah Zarah. Now Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kenida. Rabbi Akiva says, actually no, the wall is tummy like Anida. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Tizrim kimodava tsei tomar lo. So this, the pasuk is saying, you should scatter them out, send them out, kimodava, like Anida, tsei tomar lo. Get out, you should say to him. Now, what that means is, what we learn from that pasuk is really a pasuk in Yeshaya, but what we understand from that pasuk is that there is an equation that we're making, that pasuk is also that's discussing Avodah Zarah, and so we're saying you should scatter them, like send them out like Avodah, like Anida. Well, why is the Torah equating this to like Anida? Now it is true that Anida is, so to speak, quarantined in a sense. So what does it mean though? So we understand that there's, Rabbi Akiva understands from this pasuk that this is the Torah's way of highlighting that the tumah of the Avodah Zarah is like the tumah of Anida. The major difference that we're talking about is as the Mishnah goes on to say, it's ma nida metam b'masa, just like a nida is metam b'masa, she contaminates by means of tumas masa. So af avodas kochavim metam b'masa. So to avodah zara is metama, is able to contaminate by means of tumas masa. Now this is as opposed to just tumas maga, right? The sheretz would contaminate by means of tumas maga, but if a woman who has her menstrual cycle is a nida and she's able to contaminate, and the way that she contaminates is not only through tumas maga, but even through tumas masa. If she sits on top of something anything that's beneath that would become tummy because it's lifting or it's holding her up. That's tumas masa. So that's a machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Akiva. If the tuma of avodah zarah, in this case, it would be the stones from this wall that were worshipped. So are they metame kisharet or are they metame like anita? Okay, so that's the Mishnah. Now the Gemara goes on and says as follows: v'ha kamarvach lavodas kochavim. Or the way that some have it is v'ha kashavik ravcha lavodazara. You're leaving over this space. You're creating this great big space now that the guy has that he didn't have before. So why is it a good idea for? It's true, we don't want you to rebuild a wall that's going to function as an avodazara that the guy's going to worship. But why is it better to distance from the property line, giving him all this extra space? So it says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chanina Misura. Rav Chanina Misura explained the avod lebesek hizeh because you used that space, not as just empty space to give him all this extra space, is that the Jew made it into a Beis HaKiseh. He's using it to go to the bathroom. V'ha baitzinusa. So says Gemara, what do you mean? How could he possibly just relieve himself there? He needs privacy. When a person goes to the bathroom, it needs to be in a private place. So says the Gemara, the avalei Beis HaKiseh delayla. So the answer is no, he uses that area now. The Jew uses this area for a Beis HaKiseh at night. He uses it to go to the bathroom at night. So says the Gemara, wait a second. Vaha Amar Mar, I thought Mar told us, Ezuhu Tzenua, what's considered to be a Tzenua when it comes to going to the bathroom? Hanifna Balayla, B'makom Shanifna B'yom. If a person relieves himself at night in the same way, in the same place that he relieves himself by day. Now what we explain over there is V'afagavdu Kimna B'yom. Kedarech, even though we establish over there, this is in the Gemara and Brachos where it has all that whole discussion. So, even though it's true, we explain over there, that when it says b'makom, it doesn't mean in the place where you relieve yourself by during the daytime. It means b'kedarech, in the manner in which a person relieves himself. Meaning to say, the Gemara explains that a person is supposed to expose the minimal amount necessary when he's relieving himself. And so, that's what we mean. And so, therefore, what you see is miutinusa b'ilam avid. In other words, we said, you're telling me now that he's using the Beis HaKiseh for nighttime. I thought Mark told us that it means that a person has to relieve himself in the same manner that he relieves himself during the daytime. In other words, with the same amount of privacy, with the lack of exposure, is what he's supposed to do when he goes to the bathroom at night. And so he needs privacy. So says the Gemara. He made it for children. He made it for children to go to the bathroom. That's what he did. Inami, alternatively, totally different solution. The gadale behizmi vihigi. He fenced it off using hizmi and higi. He used these thorns to put over there. And so there's no gain of all that airspace then. Okay, so that's the Gemara. The Gemara's major problem is how do we allow the guy to have all this extra room now, all this breathing space now? And so the Gemara answers it by saying either he uses it as basic kiseh, which we explain as a basic kiseh for tinokas, or he fences up the area using thorns. Fine. Says the Mishnah, Shlosh Batamin, there are three houses. Now what this means is that there are three kinds of houses, three categories of houses. Rashi explains, of course, when it comes to bitul avodah zarah, as we'll explain in a little bit. If you have a house that a person built, and from the very get-go, he built it le'avodah zarah, to be used for avodah kochavim, hareza aser, that house is aser. The entire house is avodah kochavim, and so if the guy built it, Rashi points this out a number of times, is that if a guy builds it, it becomes usur until he does some sort of a bittul, right? Until he knocks down a little bit of it. But if a Jew builds such a house, and he does a l'shem avodas kochavim from the get-go, so then it's going to be forever usur. Okay, so now, says the Mishnah again, if a house that he built from the get-go, l'avodas kochavim, that's usur. So, siyado u kiyado. We have it as kiyado, but some have it as kiyaro. Rashi's version was kiyado. Others have it as kiyaro, that he plastered it and he decorated it. He added on decoration with plaster, la'avodas kochavim, for the purposes of avodah zarah, v'chidesh, and he added something on. Not a mashachidesh. all you have to do is take off whatever he added on. Meaning to say like this, if in this case, in case two of the Mishnah, for the second kind of house we're discussing, there's a pre-existing house that a guy owns, he hasn't been worshipping it, he hasn't been using it for Avodah Zarah, nothing of this sort, just one day he decides to make this house into a base of Avodas Kochavim. And the way that he does that, part of his renovations to the building is that he adds on this plaster to make like this sort of stucco decoration built into the, you know, to the house. So the question is, now that he's done that and he's essentially designated this house for the purposes of Avodah Zarah, so what does it take to undo that status of Avodah Zarah? So says the Gemara, all you have to do is take off whatever the guy added onto the house. The house in and of itself, which was a pre-existing house, it wasn't Avodah Zarah, that doesn't become a sir. Whatever you added on, that's what you have to take off. And once you remove that, then the house is good to go. So says the Gemara, okay, so that's the Yadav Kiyar, Avodah Zarah v'chidesh, not the Masha Chidesh. So Hichnas L'socha, or L'socho, Avodah Zarah v'metziya, if let's say you have a regular house, it wasn't ever worshipped, and then the guy decides to bring an Avodah Zarah into that house one day. So what's the halacha there? Now, if a Jew wants to obtain, you know, obtain ownership of this house, whatever it is, so what do you have to do in order to undo this status? Hareza, so vehotziya, if he took it out, hareza mutter, then the house is permitted. Now there's no problem anymore. Okay, so those are the three cases of houses. Either a house that was built from the very get-go, the shem of a dazar, that becomes aser. And the second case, a house that was a pre-existing house that wasn't Avodah Zarah, and then the guy plasters it up, designating it now the shame of Avodah Zarah. Well, so then, in order to undo the status of Avodah Zarah, all you have to do is remove whatever plaster was added on. Third case is that you have a regular house, and the guy brings an Avodah Zarah into that house. All you have to do is take out the Avodah Zarah, and now the house is fine. That's the Mishnah. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav. Rav says a very big chiddush. Rav's chiddush is hamishtach v'labayis. If a person bows down to a house, asura, that prohibits it. So that means then, according to Rav, if a person wants to make a house asur as an avodah zarah, all you have to do is bow down to the house. Nothing more than that. So says the Gemara, Alma, so clearly you see that Rav holds, kesavar, that he holds, Alma kesavar, talish l'bzov chibro. If a person, if it's dealing with something that was talish, that was disconnected from the ground, and then he goes ahead and he connects it to the ground, ki talish dami, it's treated like it is disconnected from the ground. Remember, we discussed before about bowing down. If a person bows down to a mountain, the mountain does not become Aser, it doesn't become an Avodah Zarah, that we have a pasuk for that. So now the question is, what about a house? A house is connected to the ground. It starts off as stones, and you build it up into a house, but at the end of the day, it's connected to the ground. So clearly, if Rav holds that by bowing down to the house, a person can make it Aser, clearly he seems to hold that Tal Shem Sof Chibro is Kid Tal Shami, that the thing that's connected to the ground later is still considered to be disconnected from the ground, and that's why a person has the ability to make it Aser by bowing down to it, like anything else that's disconnected from the ground. So says the Gemara, wait a second, v'hanan b'notanan. But I thought we learned in the Mishnah, it says b'no, that he built it. And it sounds like the Mishnah is telling you that the way to make a house usher is by building it l'shem avodah zarah. That's what you have to do. If the house was already an existing standing house and you just bowed onto it, that's not going to work. So says the Gemara, b'no afal b'shalo shtachav alo, or hishtachav afal b'shalo b'no. No. The Mishnah is not saying that this is that it's only if a person built a house l'shem avodah zarah. That's the only way to make it usher as an avodah zarah. It's the Mishnah is telling you that if a person built it, even though he didn't bow down to it, right, then it's still usher. Alternatively, we would also have Rav's point, which is that if a person bowed down to the house, even if he didn't build it l'shem avodah zarah, the house can still become usher. Okay, so that's how we read the Mishnah now. When the Mishnah says, it means that he built it. Doesn't mean that this is the only way to make a house aser. It means that it is a way to make a house aser. You build it, even if you don't bow down to that house, the house is aser as avodah zarah. Alternatively, if the person bows down to a house, so fine, that also would make the house aser. So it says, well, if that's the case, then how many cases of houses do we have then that can become aser as avodah zarah? So ihachi, if that's true, we have it as hani, the Bach takes out hani. Shlosha, when we say that there are three cases of houses, there's a total of four, right? Because now, given Rav's understanding and the way that we're going to have to touch up the Mishnah based on Rav's understanding, when we say that there are three houses, a house that was built l'shem Avodah Zarah, a house that was plastered l'Avodah Zarah, or a house that someone brought in Avodah Zarah, well, there's a fourth case now. The case is a person bows down to a house. So says the Gemara, Kivin de le'in in bitl tanan, the Bach adds in the word tanan over here, since we're dealing with bitl, so since the whole purpose of the Mishnah, the whole objective of this Mishnah is to teach you the halachas about bitl of Arzara, bana v'hishtachve chad kechashav le, the Mishnah considers building and bowing down as one case. It's the same deal as far as we are concerned, that it does make a difference. Whether he bowed onto the house, whether he built the house, the whole thing becomes usher. And therefore, if it be a guy who built it or bowed down to it, we would say that you need a guy in order to do the bittul. And if it be a Jew who, Rachman al-Tzlan, built the house, Lashem Avodah Zarah, or bowed down to the house, so then we would say it would never ever be able to be bittul from its status as Avodah Zarah. Okay. So that's the Mishnah about the houses that are used for Avodah Zarah. Now says the Mishnah, Shalosh Avanimim, there are three stones. And again, similar idea to the previous Mishnah, there are three kinds of stones when it comes to Bittul of Avodah Zarah. So what are we talking about? Says the Mishnah, Evan Shechetzava Mitchila Labimas, a stone that he hewed from the very get-go for the purpose of serving as a bimas, as like a platform or a pedestal of some sort that they would put an Avodah Zarah on. And what Rashi explains again over here is that the pedestal was not just a pedestal for the Avodah Zarah, that the Avodah Zarah was worshipped. Even the pedestal was worshipped. So in this case, that if a person hewed this stone, and from the very get-go he did it l'shem serving as a pedestal for the Avodah Zarah, harei zu asura, that is prohibited. Even if he didn't put an Avodah Zarah on it yet, from the moment that he did this mice of hewing the stone from the mountain, he had it in mind, l'shem Avodah Zarah, so then it would be usur. And again, same idea, that if it's usur, then you would need a guy to do the bittul. If a guy was the person who did the hewing of this stone, and if it was a Jew who, Rahman al-Tlan, did the hewing of this stone, l'shem Avodah Zarah, to serve, so then it would be usur, and no one would ever be able to be mevatel that stone. Okay, so that's the first case of Mishnah. Siyara v'kiyara, l'shem Avodas Kochavim, if you had already a stone that was already hewn, and you go to the local Home Depot to pick it up, you bring it home, and this guy plasters it. Siyara u'kiyara, he plasters it, he decorates it, l'shem Avodas Kochavim, for the purposes of Avodah Zarah. So, what do you do now? Now it's the halacha. Does that make it into Avodah Zarah? Not too much. Siyad v'kiyed u'mutaris. All he has to do, if a person wants to undo the status of Avodah Zarah, all he would have to do is remove whatever plaster decoration was added onto this stone. Okay. Now, so the final case in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hamid aleha avodas kochavim v'silka. If he erected an Avodah Zarah on it, and then he removed it. So again, he takes a regular run-of-the-mill stone from Home Depot, he brings it home, and it has no status as an Avodah Zarah, but he takes his Avodah Zarah and he stands it up on this stone. And so now, if a person comes in and he removes the Avodah Zarah from being resting on top of that stone, harez muteres. Now it's permitted. Okay, and again, what Rashi points out over here is that the guy doesn't put the Avodah Zarah on it, in a permanent way. He doesn't designate this stone to be permanently as a pedestal. It's just he's temporarily storing this Avodah Zarah on top of this stone. So in that case, that's the halach. Okay, so those are the three cases of the Avanu. A stone that a person hewed from the mountain, and he, from the very get-go, he wants it for l'shem Avodah Zarah. When he does that mice of cutting it from the mountain, and he does l'shem Avodah Zarah, that makes it usher. Case two is if he has a stone that was hewn already from the mountain, but wasn't Avodah Zarah, and now he plasters it l'shem Avodah Zarah. In order to undo its status of Avodah Zarah, he would have to remove the plaster. And the third case is a person takes a stone that was already that was not cut l'shem Avodah Zarah. It's just sitting there, it's a regular run-of-the-mill stone, and he sets up an Avodah Zarah on that stone. In order to undo the status of Avodah Zarah, all he would have to do is remove the Avodah Zarah from resting on top of that stone. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. Amar Rav Ami, V'hushe siyed v'kiyed begufa shel eved. Says Rav Ami, this is provided that he plastered and decorated into the actual stone. In other words, the way the Rashi explains it is that he engraved into the stone itself. Whatever material this stone is made out of, he engraves directly into the stone. But says Rashi, if he would have just decorated, if he would have added plaster onto it, so then you wouldn't need bittul. Okay, so now, Says the Gemara. That's Rav Ami's point. Rav Ami's big point is that if he did this, it's provided that he did the seed vikid into the actual stone itself, he did engraving into the stone itself, that's what makes it aser. Says the Gemara, wait a second, Vahad Dumya Debayis. We have it as Dumya Debayis Tanan, some take that out. But the point is that I thought that the case, presumably, when we're discussing stones, is parallel to the cases that we discussed by a house. Ubayis la begufehu umitzer. For a house, when we talked about the case of plastering in the house, the person wasn't engraving into the house itself. He was adding plaster on. He was adding on this plaster decoration onto the house. So, and we said that that was usher. So how could Rav Ami come along and tell us that the pshat in this Mishnah for stones is that he's engraving into the stone itself? It's not simply that he's adding plaster onto it. So says the Gemara, Bais Nami, Ikabeni Orvi. For a house also, it's a case where he's engraving into the house itself. For example, if we're dealing with in between the bricks, that if in between the bricks he inserts this plaster and engraves into the house itself, then that's how it becomes usher. And that's the case of the house also, so they are parallel. So says Gemara, wait a second, Milo Askinon, Deshie, the Hadar Shaye? Are we not discussing a case of where it was smooth and then it goes back and he smooths it? Meaning to say that he, in other words, we're dealing with a house that is Shia, that is smooth, and then he comes back and he adds on more plaster to smooth it over. And that's why the Mishnah follows up by saying that how do you deal with this? You remove it. So in other words, it sounds like you're taking something off. And that's what we're dealing with. So says the Gemara, Ella ki itmar de Rav Ami l'in bitl itmar. No, so let me explain to you what Rav Ami is really doing over here. Rav Ami was discussing the halachas for bitl, and he was saying as follows: the afal gav desiyed v'kiyed begufa shel even, that even though he does this siyed and kiyed into the actual stone, ki notamash chiddush, when he removes whatever he added on, shaper dami, that suffices, that's good. The same, what would you have thought to say? The kivan shesid v'kid begufa shel even, since he did something to the actual avodah zarah itself, the stone to be used for the avodah zarah itself. So the kivan shesid v'kid begufa shel even, even shechazavim etchilu lavaras kachavim damia. So then it's like hewing the stone from the get-go l'shem avodah zarah. V'titzer kula, and therefore the whole thing should become us. Remember, just like for the stone, if he hews the stone from the mountain, and as he's cutting the stone away from the mountain, he's having in mind to do the Slashem Avodah Zarah, then it becomes usher. So similarly, maybe if he's plastering and he's doing this this plaster work to the stone itself and thinking that he's doing it into the guf of the stone, so then maybe that also should be just like hewing a stone directly from the mountain, and therefore it should be usher. So that's Rav Ami's big chiddush, is that even if he did do this sid and the siyad v'kiyad into the guf of the oven, and you would have thought that it should be asr forever, still, aval bikein, it doesn't become asr forever. All you have to do is remove whatever he did, whatever he added, that's what you have to take off, and that's how you make it mutter. Okay, so those are the three mishnayos that we have here. First one about a person whose wall is adjacent to the avodah zarah. What do you do if you want to rebuild that wall? Second Mishnah, which is the three kinds of houses that were built in various ways and were turned into avodah zarah or made usher b'taras avodah zarah in various ways. And Rav's b'chiddush, that if a person bows down to the house itself, that makes it usher. And then the final Mishnah, which is the cases of the three stones being used for becoming usher when they're used for an avodah zarah in some way, either hewn from the mountain or plastered, or if he erects an avodah zarah on them. And then we have Rav Ami's chiddush, that even if he did something into the guf of the stone itself, all you'd have to do is remove that sid, and that's how you make it batal. Okay.